It's just like the first time we had, of course, Ayesha, she's from Canada, Dave's wife. And, you know, obviously the Canadians are not raised on chicken fried steak like the Texans. And so the first time I told her, she said, what would you like for supper tonight? And I said, well, let's have some chicken fried steak. She says, some what? I said, chicken fried steak. She said, I never heard of that. And I thought, oh, my land. We got a woman here in Texas that never heard of chicken fried steak. She said, what do you do? I said, well, you take some flour and eggs and milk and everything. You mix up a batter and you dip it in it and all that stuff. And then you cook it and then you make some cream gravy. And so she got the first part. So we battered the steak and everything, and she cooked it, and it looked beautiful and everything. I said, now then, we can't eat chicken fried steak without cream gravy. She says, cream gravy? I don't know how to make cream gravy. I said, woman, don't you know how to do anything? See, the two things I've seen, she probably knows how to do everything in the world but those two things. See, but she knows how to do them now. I said, okay, she cooked the steak. I showed her how to make the batter. We did it. I said, now then, I said, I'll make the gravy. So I took the grease in the skillet and put the flour in there and started stirring it and poured the milk in and started stirring in all that stuff. And then a little while, we had a great big skillet full of cream gravy. Woo, I'm just getting hungry talking about this. Y'all know we may have to stop and go to the grocery store. And I have some steak to eat because I love chicken fried steak. I usually eat at least one a week, you know. So, but anyway, Ayesha didn't know how to make that. But now, let me tell you, I can ask her today. Ayesha, you know how to make chicken fried steak and gravy? Hey, she could do it. Guarantee she could do it. But did somebody have to show me the first time too?
Right.
Absolutely. My mother showed me. I didn't know how to do that. Boy, I mean, mother, she'd make chicken fried steak and gravy. In fact, my mother, one time, I loved chicken fried steak and gravy so much, but I just couldn't stand liver. I still don't like liver. Some people love, Cheryl loves liver, but I can't eat it. So my mother, one time she thought, okay, I'm going to fool Thurman. It's just in his head. I'm going to chicken fry some liver, and he won't know the difference. So when I came in that afternoon, Mom had chicken fried steak, I thought. And I said, oh, praise the Lord, Mom, chicken fried steak again tonight. Woo, I love it. I sat down there, man, and I grabbed me a big piece of that, and I put it out there and smothered it with all that good white gravy and all that stuff, you know. And I sliced me off a piece, and I put it in my mouth, and I started chewing. And I said, Mom, this piece of chicken fried steak tastes like liver. And she says, I can't fool you, I guess. And I said, why? She said, it really is liver. I thought I would fool you. I thought you would eat it if I chicken fried it. But she couldn't fool me. I didn't like it. And so she never tried that again. I have to say, I had a good mother, though, I will have to say. But, you know, sometimes this enemy that we've got here, whenever we are Christians and we know these wonderful promises, we try to stand on these promises. He'll whisper in your ear. You know, he'll re-end over in your ear when you start to stand on the promises. He said, what if God don't do it for you this time, Kim? And what do we do? It puts doubt in us. I mean, if we're not really strong in the Word, or what'll happen, you'll be going along here for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, not a pain in your knees, and you've had pain all this time, and all of a sudden you get out of bed one morning, and there's an awful pain there. And then there's a little voice say, I thought you were healed. Wow, I thought I was too. The devil says, oh, I've got you on the run right now. I got you on the run. But see, you've got to say, oh, no, devil. Oh, no, I have not sinned. If I have, I repent. Lord, I am well. You have already bore my sickness, removed my disease. You give me all power over this pain and sickness. I ain't going there with you, devil. In the name of Jesus, you get out of my life. Now then, I'm going to get out of this bed, and I'm going to go do something. In fact, there's a young man that I know extremely well. He had seen his daughter miraculously healed when I prayed for her years ago. She's now a grown girl in college, but she was 6 when I prayed for her. She was miraculously healed. And then, several years later, he was playing baseball with the church. He loved to play baseball. He was probably 30-something years old at that time, 30 to 35, I don't know, somewhere in there. But he loved to play baseball with the church, and he comes sliding into home base one night, and whatever, third base, whatever it was, and slid in and twisted his knee. I mean, when he got up, he could hardly walk. He walked on off the field, And that night, it got hurting so bad, they went to the doctor. Actually, I think it was Saturday morning that they went to the doctor, and the doctor x-rayed it and said, we're going to have to do surgery on your knee. It's tore up. So they put a big old thing around it, you know, and all that stuff. I forget what he said that thing cost, but it went from his hip all the way down to his ankle. A big old hard thing they strapped around him. And told him, said, this will do okay till Monday. Monday come in at 7 o'clock and we'll do surgery on you Monday. So Sunday night, I didn't see him at church. And he was going to help me work on a car. A man had given me a car. It had a bad quarter panel on it. And another guy I knew needed a car, and he didn't have no money. So I didn't want to give him a car with a bent quarter panel. So I thought, well, I'll put a quarter panel on it and fix it and paint that quarter panel and make it look nice before I give it to him. I didn't want to give him a piece of junk. So, you know, I was trying to get this car ready for him. I had the quarter panel all cut off of it and the right rear quarter panel. But it's a unitized body, and I didn't have the equipment to straighten the frame. But he did, and he worked at a body shop, and so I had to ask him a couple days before if you would be able to put your machine on that since I'm going to give this car away. He said, sure, Thurman, no problem. I'll be happy to help you. He said, just bring it on out. And so Sunday night, I didn't see him at church, so I called him. I said, when are you going to help me with that car? He said, well, before I say when I'm going to help you, he said, what's the Lord been doing good in your life lately? Well, I began to tell him, well, I did this, one over prayed for so-and-so, and I used this scripture, and they got healed, and I went over so-and-so, and I guess for 20 or 30 minutes, I talked to him about the promises of God and the wonderful answers to prayer God had done for me. So then I said, by the way, I didn't call you to tell you all that stuff. I called to see when you're going to help me. He said, tomorrow afternoon. He said, after work tomorrow afternoon, 6 o'clock, have that car out the shop. We'll straighten that frame. I said, okay, I'll be there at 6 o'clock. Well, the next afternoon, I drove it out there at 6 o'clock and pulled up behind the shop there, and doors open, and there he stands inside running. He said, pull it right in here. We'll hook it up on the frame machine. So he's running all over the place, and I pull it in there, and he's putting the hooks on it, down on his knees and doing everything. And he says, after we got it hooked up, he said, before we straighten this, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you know, last night when you called, I was scheduled for surgery today on my knee. I said, what happened? He said, after you talked about all the things God had done in your life, when I asked you what kind of good things God did, because I know God's always doing something good in your life, that should be every Christian. That should be every one of us. He said, after I got through listening to you, he said, when I hung up the phone, my wife said, who in the world were you on the phone with so long? She said, that was Thurman. And she said, well, what did y'all talk about? He said, he told me, I asked him how things would, what good things was going on in his life, and he's telling me about this one he prayed for and that one he prayed for, and this guy got his knees healed and all kinds of stuff. He just telling me all kinds of stories about things. So he said, I'm telling you what we're going to do. Let's go into the bedroom. I'm going to take this thing off my leg, and you and me are going to get the Word of God down, and I'm going to read every one of them scriptures, he told me, and we're going to stand on them scriptures, and we're going to pray, and I'm throwing that thing away, and in the morning I'm going to get up and go to work. Amen. This sounds like this boy's almost got faith, don't it? He's teetering on real faith, isn't he? Where did he get that real faith? It come out of the Word of God, right? So he read those, and so him and his wife prayed over those things. They took those wonderful promises that I'd quoted into them that I had used for the glory of God, and they prayed, and he threw that thing. I said, honey, throw that thing in the trash. She said, that thing costs too much money. I'm going to put it in a closet. I ain't throwing it away. He said, I don't care what you do with it, but I ain't going to need it. He said, when I get up in the morning, I'm going to hit the floor running. I'm going to work tomorrow, and ain't going to be nothing wrong with my knee because God made me the promises in His Word. Amen. He said, the next morning, Thurman, this morning, he said, I woke up. I didn't even test the water. I just jumped out of the bed on both feet, hit it, run to the bathroom, brushed my teeth, washed my face, put my clothes on, and I come to work. He said, I have worked all day long without a single pain, and there ain't nothing wrong with my knee. I'm perfectly healed. Now see, that's available to who in the church? All of us if we believe by faith. I mean, we do not believe by faith. We have so much unbelief. Just like Jesus when the boy said, Lord, why could we not cast that demon out of that little boy? What did the Lord say? Because of your what? Unbelief. Your unbelief, your lack of faith. You didn't have no faith. And if you don't have faith, what does he say he'll do for us here? But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to answer. Really expect him to answer. Not maybe. So the first thing you should do before you begin to stand on His promises, what is the very first thing you should do, Rosemary? Amen. Make sure you've got every sin and even the one of unbelief, right? Make sure you have every sin confessed. That's the first issue. Get rid of the sin. You got to get rid of sin. If somebody comes to you and you say, we got to get rid of sin. We got a sin issue here. Well, I don't have no sin in my life. Well, and you're sick and you ain't got no sin in your life. No. Some of them get upset with us. But that's okay. We know if they're sick, there's a sin. You know, because Jesus said, when you ask Him, and then you can ask Him, well, you believe when I pray for you, He's going to heal you. What if it's God's will? He'll heal me. How often do we hear that? All the time. If it's God's will, He'll heal me. Yeah. If it's not His will, I won't get it. No, it is His will to heal you. That's what He died on the cross for. So He says, but when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. That's an ouch, isn't it? So if you don't really believe, what are you going to get from the King? Now, somebody said, you know, God would never do me like that. He's a loving, sweet God. But He is also a God of faith, is He not? If you do not ask in faith, according to the Word of God, what are you going to get from God? What? Nothing. When you pray and expect Him to do something, what's He going to do? Whatever you ask for. He didn't give you any limitation because of these great and precious promises. But people that have this doubtful mind, they should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. The problem is never with God. The problem's always with Thurman or Terry or whoever, right? It's never God. Anytime I don't, that's why when I told this other couple here a while ago, I was talking about this. I said, just like little Jenna out there, those pictures of Jenna. I said, we prayed for little Jenna, those pictures of that little girl out there in the hallway, for a year and a half. And she just got worse all the time. I finally said, hey, there's a sin issue here. I don't know what it is, but we got to find it.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Who Are We Going to Believe? Or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.